You say it enough, which boat do you think would you?
39.
It's a nice.
Yeah, it's one of the times. There's two bedrooms upstairs, just one bedroom between them. I think you'd say, because I know Pat and Carol said.
My sister, I know. I'm going to, I'm sending a special. Find a, any of the wires or things are coming in. You know, that she calls her, she could give a little special note, she'd be able to be in order to test them. Like, people like Miss Frick and others, I thought they had a lot for. Actually, with little letters rather than calls, which I can tell me a lot more to them. I'm addicted. I can't take them. All at once. But you know, you, and things are. As you go through that, if you can, like you pick out the, wires and things, and I see, you know, the rats and so forth. I ordered off.
Did you look at the ones that were?
I did all of those. I did all of those last yesterday.
So some of you sent me those back, I assume.
I finished. I just. Now, let me tell you that with regard to going to Camp David, there'll be nothing to do today or tomorrow.
This is a lot of it that I can get done here.
Well, whether there'll be anything by Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know. But I, I think Thursday that will be the first time, because I'll just be there, I guess, mainly making calls and catching up on a lot of my thinking and so forth. So I got a lot of people.
We can send special letters up to you.
I'd like to see all the special letters and things, anything that I can read in my leisure. Let me talk to the mail office and tell them to pick out those that they think are especially interesting.
And a lot of those come, a lot of special ones come and direct care of my attention, so they come to my office first, so you.
You get a hold of the mail office too and tell them as they go through the wires and so forth. They ought to send them back and stuff up because it's just good for me to get a feel of it, and then I'll have a better idea as to what kind of farm I want to go for some of the people in that. Those are the files.
Okay. I thought we would be meeting this, and I had talked to Phoebe Friday, and I was just, you know, didn't want to carry her on it too.
But you still have to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Our fucking floor.
What? But no one knows that.
Yeah, right. Okay, you get this. We might want to keep her, but we don't want to put on my own personal vehicles. Or I'll just do that if I know what it is.
Yeah.
And see if we can make the connection. Okay, fine, or just get her and talk to her, see how much, what it is, exactly what we can make. And we'll just do it through the, I'll have that through the MP, which is a bigger check than here, and we do whatever available all the times we want. It's be very good thing for her, Julie. Julie's gonna be with us till April.
Okay, and I'll send you, if they start in any little form, I'll send you a copy of that.
Well, I'll see the marks, because they won't know, right? They'll do their best, but I mean, they have to be done in a subtle way, you know, I have to.
Okay, then I'll tell them.
Very personal, I'll see the marks on this.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's not good, can it?
Yeah, especially in the mouth of the Florida.
Yeah.
I went up to New York for a day yesterday.
My wife got paid up for the meeting, and then it comes back to see him, so. So I'll go around back to Camp David at 9:30. And, I want to avoid, any of the problem, and then talk to Rogers and Dave together. So do you think the best thing to do is for you to come up with him?
Yes, I think I'll need to meet Andrews and go up with him.
Fine.
I'm going to go this evening, because it's a plenty of time.
It's 2 o'clock. There you go, sir.
He'll get in about 2:30.
Fine.
So he'll be up at 3.
Fine. Then we finish and you can go on.
To New York.
To New York.
That's right. And that is until 7:30.
You see, but we have a we want to go. Be sure that it's now clear evidence of presidential leadership that's
open
to make here, and we're just not going to pass around this frankly credited to Rogers and State and so forth, you know, because I can see your point of last week, the way they're trying to put out that they're playing the part, and they didn't play the part, and they all went down to the road box.
They played no part.
And therefore, we're going to play this game right out. And don't you agree?
I couldn't agree.
Because the name of it works, it's our achievement, and we're going to do it. You know, I just think it's just ridiculous. It's not a set of all my chance and the rest. We did it because we didn't want to go in there. I understand China, I understand Russia, to deal with it, but on this one, as you know, on your many trips to Saigon, Bill, if he didn't rush out, jump up and down,
he's safe, miles away from it.
Pass over everyone we just got to kill for them to come in and sit here as if they were working the thing out. It's ridiculous.
Andrew says,
it's even ridiculous to have that advanced solar.
They say they made the improvements that made the difference. They have literally made that one suggestion that was.
Well, it is. Let me say, Victoria is the way they have it too, and that's why when they get there, I'll have a Matrix picture to the right from there.
Yes, yes.
Don't you think so?
Absolutely, Mr. President. And
otherwise, I'm here.
Oh, I think in any event, Mr. President, you have take this old Lincoln City Group episode on China. Rogers had absolutely nothing to do with it. You were the one who took the responsibility.
And then they went on to say, well, they were holding out and forced me to change my China policy. You remember that motion?
Exactly.
Well, Henry, you remember the whole today you came in, we'll
take the business in China.
Oh.
We're the one that went through the long rounds with Joe.
And
they put out the word in Russia, not even speak of it in Russia, where you. But actually, you did as much in China.
Yeah.
In fact, in China was even more important in many ways because
you know, it had to work in order to Russia work.
That's right.
exactly the opposite, because we have fought, frankly, just to get even. That's about where we are now. We're just about even. And now, by God, we're going to run our own show. We're going to pick our own man. I'm not going to have a soul ever in that cabin. I'm not going to have a soul in the White House staff that is not totally my man. I fully. And it is in the minute that he decides he's not my man, he's out.
I think that's right, Mr. President. But
well, I've got all other time. This is the idea on Peterson, which I understand is yours, is a brilliant one there, to have him do that European community and they don't address it.
But I must say that
you've got to get Peterson out of Congress.
He has done, and I've done that, I have to say this about, he has done a superb job in Congress on the foreign economic negotiations.
That's his mandate. But wouldn't you do great to put NATO and the European community together in one office?
I think
let them do the whole bag.
I think that would
be. We don't need two bosses over there.
I think that would be excellent. You'd get some resistance but I think it'd be an imaginative thing to do.
State Department.
And it would.
NATO then begins to take over its bar of the deal with
each other. That's right.
Peterson will be eternally grateful.
But I think it's too dangerous to let Peterson. To just throw Peterson out.
I don't mind.
Because he talks too much.
Well, also, he hasn't been here long enough to be thrown out.
And, but if you offer him something, in Congress, all we need is somebody who will take direction from the White House on the foreign economic policy.
We'll have that.
And that's, it doesn't matter, have to be Peterson.
But anyway, we're going to be playing all these games our own way now. You just can't go around and around this track every time and say, good God, how do you play the sensitivities of the State Department and the Defense Department?
It's impossible. For example, Mr. President, Terry Schenker called me the other day. They're doing a story on me. Man put out the word that he pushed you into Vietnamization, that he wanted to pull troops out, that he was the secret out of the administration, that he's mainly responsible for everything. I said, let me tell you something, sir.
When on Vietnamization for a year,
that's what I said. I said, let me tell you something. Leyen was sent to Vietnam 2 months after the president had already told me that he was going to withdraw troops, and at a time when I knew the president so rarely that I had nothing to do, that I knew that this was one of the first decisions he had to make, but he had to set the framework for it, as he does everything else, methodically, first coming out with a peace initiative in May, and he was giving Leyen the credit for a decision that he had already reached, and you'd be making a terrible mistake. I said, moreover, we don't get rewards for withdrawal rates, but if you saw the memorandum that Leyen wrote compared to what the president actually decided, you would find that, in fact, the president exceeded all the recommendations.
Right.
Which happens to be true. Remember the 150,000?
That's the very one that's stuck in.
Every single decision.
Oh, every deal is simply
it's unimportant. It's
so
only, Mr. President, in every other administration that I've seen. The cabinet members were trying to build up the president.
You know, the interesting thing, Gary, over is so damn funny.
But I know there's already a shift. I mean, now the liberals are looking for a way to get aboard. And then
how was your reception in New York? People were anybody congratulating over there.
Mr.
They didn't have any here, they don't give it from the press or anything.
No, but it was absolutely unbelievable. I went to the theater. Well, I went to the check in, but Saturday night when I got in, I went to see a play. And when I got in, they all got up and started applauding.
Did they really?
It was unbelievable.
They really did?
It was, I got it.
They said they cheered.
I got a standing ovation. People came up, tell the president how proud we are. What a great achievement. That's New York City where I used to get food. When I went into a theater, crowds waiting outside. But it wasn't to me. It was really, I was the closest thing.
It's finally got through to them that we won.
To you.
Winning has a great effect on people, doesn't it?
And also, absolutely, yesterday at the chess game, now that was the more elite group, I was in the director's room.
Oh, sure.
And Bonnie Lansky, of course, he's a fan, was there. But you should see the way they all hold their heads high now. to get off that old line.
Well, it's the thing which I use, the exhausted volcano.
Yeah.
Which fits perfectly at this point, you know.
Well, they didn't expect you to come right out the day after the great victory.
They expected us just to ride through like Johnson did. Well,
that's
only
right.
Once, the hell with you.
That's right, they didn't expect that strong.
And all this whole business, too, that it's a summer to Kevin, as you well know. I think we all expect him to stay. We have to stay.
And they have tried all over me last week, I just tell you. But
well, hell, you already
need to get out of that himself. He said all his associates are shocked that they should be asked for their resignation.
Well, for Christ's sake.
I said it's kind
of. That's one of the things we're going to clean out, like.
Must be. It has to be.
Defense is too big. Depending on all those assistant secretaries of McNamara, so that's the most ridiculous thing ever.
And it's too unresponsive that the military has to be brought under better control.
Well, that's one thing we're going to do. If we make this move with Richardson, it's going to be with the. Of course, we can do it on our terms. It's going to be with the understanding that I have a direct line to the chief, and he ain't going to be that. I've got to talk to people alone. I think we've got to tell people, Henry. I do with everybody else around here. It is my style not to want to talk to a group. I don't sit around and gas around and take a vote. Now, I have to talk to more alone.
That's right.
I'm going to go alone. And sometimes I may talk to the chief of the Air Force alone. This idea that the other person is going to be there is ridiculous.
Because I think we've more of an extremist up in another year to be replaced.
Oh, sure. Cool.
And that Navy group, that Zoom board, really is.
I was saying.
And he's keeping it up. I mean, he's doing a big racial thing out
of it. Well, the sickening thing of wearing the hair shirt about the race thing.
Yeah.
You know, goddamn, well, frankly, if anything, now let's be quite candid about it and honest. If anything, the problem in the Navy and in all the armed services is that they are discriminating too much for the blacks, getting the positions they aren't able to do. You know, goddamn, they don't have a son. That's not, let's face it, they can go to that football thing, CPU, but you can't put them in command positions, Henry.
No.
You know that. There are some exceptional ones.
And I thought it's interesting. There was no mutiny on the Navy until they did have so many blacks there. No matter how many roughnecks they drafted, that never happened.
But it is mutiny, isn't it?
It's an effect.
Well, sure, you say you won't go.
And for the Navy, then it put them ashore.
But anyway, it is something, I think, you know, as you get, we're almost a week past the election, and so you're beginning to get here some of the reaction from abroad. Is that foreign reaction something? Have you ever seen the wires pouring off more than routine?
Oh,
you know, in 68, we got a few wires. This,
I don't know, this is in 68.
They just recognize it
out. But, of course, another important psychological thing that's happening is in 68. For the American establishment, you were an interloper. It was a sort of a breach that you got in. You had no right to it.
It was a close election, they said.
Yeah, but also they just, the Democrats were divided, Vietnam War.
Yeah.
But now you've won 49 states. So when people talk about mandate and how to translate it to Congress, all of this is really, in a way, beside the point. You are now president in a way, as you said yourself, you had to bail out. And it's in retrospect miraculous to me how not only you survived but engineered this unbelievable trial. Now they blame poor McGovern.
I told you they would.
But
blame poor McGovern.
But in July he was
going to be the king of my army.
That's right, but when you play the Yankees or Alabama, you always look bad too, and that's the guy got into a hopeless fix.
They were beaten. They were beaten the day he was nominated. He didn't beat himself.
Yeah, but they were beaten on May 8th, Mr.
Bennett.
That is true. If Muskie had been the nominee, maybe he would have knocked off 5 or 10 points.
That's all. So we would have won for 10 points.
You would have won by an Eisenhower landslide.
Because we had won the whole South, plus 2 or 3 others, Ohio, Illinois.
Oh, you would have won more than that. You would have carried New York, probably. You had the. You had the new American majority. You had the group you talked to on November 3rd.
You know, an interesting thing in the congressional wires shows how you get a little phrase, how it's running through many of them. They go clear back to November 3rd. They said, finally, the silent majority has prevailed. Remember that sound?
Yeah.
And some of them, of course, with the acceptance speech, we're members of the new American majority, Democrats, members of. You know,
yeah.
It's good. But coming back to the Hague thing,
danger in it, because he'll drag it out. Then on Saturday, he'll tell us he doesn't agree. Sunday, I go over. Now, he's written you a letter. We've got to answer. But it isn't that we haven't talked to him. That new position we want to take over there meets all of the concerns that I think can be met.
Let me say that I just got to lay it out. That's it. He's got to quit his goddamn fooling around. And frankly, I am not so sure now, due to the way that he's acting, that if he goes down, South Vietnam will still survive. Who knows?
But it's...
We just cannot continue to temporize with him. We can't continue to temporize with him.
I think we ought to get it wound up by the time Congress returns.
Oh, Christ, by the time Congress returns. You've got to have it out there. They wound up by... We're talking about much sooner than that. We can't wait that long.
That's my...
It's got to be right now.
Hague wants us to continue talking to Pugh this week and give him precise texts and so forth.
No.
We may... I don't totally exclude it, but I'm very worried what happens. He came there with a letter from you. The letter said, now give us an answer.
Or maybe we've got to send Conway out.
Let's wait for the next few days.
Take it back, because I'm not going to fool around with him. It's not going to be done.
Well,
you see, you can't go over there this time and not make the deal.
No.
When you go to Paris, you've got to make the deal.
That's right. Well, the time to send Conway is if it's needed, is after the next round, because now it's too... We don't know yet what Hanoi is going to accept. And then we know exactly...
Probably is set in a fairly good position right now. You've got everybody in the town on their ears. They don't know what the hell is happening. They know
that. And while we are talking for us, he's saying that we've arrived by coalition government.
Right.
And when the Chinese insist on having dinner with us, in fact, insist calling at 12:30 at night, you know that they think it's going to be wound up on a positive basis. And I
see how can he possibly, well, we'll wait and talk to Hague, but how can he possibly go with another round here? You just can't have a thing. Because one time everybody will throw up their hands and say, what in the hell is this? Also, it makes us look weak and impotent. Goddamn it.
Well, all the things that
I laid out the thing to him, and he's not going to bargain with me. Not going to do it.
But I think
making a separate deal, well, I think it's somewhat of an empty can. I mean, the idea that we may have to do it again, but, you know, I mean, it'll be a very shallow thing if we have to do that.
If we can get the changes that that we are now going to propose to him and to the North Vietnamese, I think an already good agreement would be spectacular. But we cannot get much more. Well, I don't think we can get all of those. And to bargain beyond that is just impossible. I mean, he is reconquering his own territory. Since June, we've been telling him to get off his ass. So he wants to continue the war until the North Vietnamese withdraw, which means we have to keep clobbering them.
Never.
And they won't do it.
It's time to stop killing. That's all. Time to stop it. That's all.
My thinking. And
the war is finished now. It's finished in the Americans' minds. It's finished too.
That's what I mean.
We talk about hawks and all that sort of thing and honor. This is honor. And they are not going to do it. And it made no impression upon him about the fact that the Congress is going to pull its blood on him.
Well, he probably figures it's time enough for him to yield when it's all done.
No.
But the...
I think I'll just send him a tough letter.
I think we should have to send him another letter.
Okay.
And then...
Incidentally, will you handle, while we're gone, will you handle it? Let me say, I think it's very important, because of the sensitivity of this stuff, that not only we put out the fact that you and I are talking, but that you should be at Camp David on occasion.
Okay.
And I'm going to be here for 2 weeks now. I went up there for 3 weeks.
Oh, are you?
Well, to finish up all this work.
Well,
you know why I'm doing it there.
So that you don't have to see them here.
You're goddamn right. Everybody else is going to be going in there and get what his special deal is. I'm going to, when I get ready to make these deals, I'm going to just put it out full blown. You know, we're really looking all, I'm not sure we're going to keep efficiency. I'm just not sure. I think he's a good man, but if I find a better man for defense, we'll put him in.
So, have you thought of Rockefeller, what do you think?
course, he's got to have in the back of his mind, he's got to have, how old is he? 54.
63, I think. 62 or 3. Well, he's 2 years older than you.
Well, you know, I'm 59. I mean, I'm only, I'll be 69. So he's 62.
62.
That's not bad. Rockefeller has got to have in his mind the possibility that if Agnew gets clobbered in the primaries, that maybe he, at an older age, might still be the fall to pick up on his weakness in that respect as a sophomore. You see, the greatest strength I have, and Agnew would have the same strength as we have a sophomore.
I don't think that Rockefeller wants anything, so
I don't have any trouble with him.
I mean, put him in the cabinet, so you won't have any trouble with him.
My point is, Rockefeller's best bet is to be outside and not in. So he isn't directly in the confrontation. Then at the conclusion of his term of governor, then he can take a look at the whole situation, see how it's going to come on, and decide whether he wants to come in. That's when I think he should do it. I think Rockefeller also, Henry, would not be happy. And I remember when I talked to him about being in the cabinet before, he just said he just wouldn't be happy in somebody else's show. He'd run his own show, so you know what I mean? He's a guy that just freewheels all over the place.
The state, he'd be a disaster.
Why could it possibly not what he considered? Defense, I don't think he would consider it.
I don't know.
But
defense, he could be more autonomous. On the management side, and I don't know.
Was Rob Fowler, and you said the only two names I heard, but I'm looking over some younger guys that we can control.
But what defense certainly, I think he has a major problem in defense. In fact, says that you said eerie phenomenon of the Russians building.
Yeah.
That in your second term, you may find the Russians attacking the Chinese from either strong way.
Yeah.
And the military are not really under good conceptual control. The thing Richardson will program is tilted to the left.
Well, yeah, but man, he'd be a disaster in space,
huh?
Yeah. I mean, you thought he should be like one point.
I've changed my mind.
He's part of the Russian.
No, if you had
Rush, who's I know his weaknesses, but Rush, and I'm going to pick the second man there because I intend my one legs is to ruin the Foreign Service. I mean, ruin the old Foreign Service. And to build a new, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to have these disloyal, pandering, simpering bastards screwing this country again. You understand that?
No, I know it.
It's
going to
be done. It's going to be done. But Rush will program. He'll do what you say.
Oh, Rush will take that.
And he'll look good. And frankly, he'll be a pretty good negotiator. You know, he's.
Oh, he'll. I don't. You never can tell how a man will be when you give him a number one spot.
Yeah.
What time it is will appear.
The point is, Rush is a guy that understands cold talk. He comes in and says, "Look, you're out there, but I'm going to tell him. I am going to take the responsibility for cleaning out that State Department, and I want to know, and I want him to be my man." And I said, "I'm going to put a man under you who's a son of a bitch, to follow the type to do it." And I said, "You're
in Berlin. In the Berlin negotiations, there's no question that he programmed beautifully.
He's got a good mind." I'm going to talk. We won't do much of it now. But hey, this afternoon, after he comes back here, I suppose he should go over and talk to Rogers.
Well, we can talk to Rogers tomorrow morning. I was thinking, conceivably, of taking him up to New York with me to try him.
Good.
Because what we need the Chinese for is to play the Cambodia, is to help us draw Cambodia. And all.
Henry, you didn't see the point. We ought to wrap this up fast. There's another reason we missed what won the election. Let's wrap this up. Then it puts us in an enormously potent driver's seat at home and abroad. You go into the first, and it's got to be before Christmas, you understand? I come out one day after the 15th of December, actually. That's what it's got to be.
That's my thinking.
My day.
No, that's exactly my thinking, Mr. President.
Well, then think it's, we've all set for that. And also, Jew isn't asking for any more, that's what I know him. Now, the survival is allocated among, now does it depend upon what kind of words are in a piece of paper.
Well, he doesn't get into it. If you pull off this agreement, if we brief it the way we can brief it, it's a great victory. Al found the day prints that article from the New Statesman saying that we ran a big con game because we claimed it was a synthesis, where in fact it was a Hanoi surrender. When we get this idea into the public mind, if we then use the Russians and Chinese to control Hanoi, which we can certainly do with the Chinese, because tonight I'm going to talk cold turkey with these guys.
I can tell you what you
need.
I'll tell you another reason I take there. When you talk to them, you'll say, no, gentlemen, I brought up General Haig with me for two reasons. One, he's a friend of China, since he's there. But two, as you may have noted, the president jumped him over 15 generals to make him vice chief of staff. And he is the man, the big man in our national defense, the man the president will depend upon. He is the man that knows what the Russians are doing and so forth. And they're giving a little laugh about that, and they'll love it.
Unless he's too tired, he's got a long flight back today.
Oh, he won't be too tired.
But I'd like to take him with me. In fact, I've already arranged for him.
You see, you can, as a matter of fact, you can, if you want, you can, after you go to Camp David, you can, don't need to come back here. You can go right over to Hagerstown and go up to the Dutch Army from there.
Oh, I don't even know that.
It's a closer place than you want to go. Well, we'll finish up there, 3 to 4 o'clock. Daddy, you don't have to come here back here. You can pick up a little bit. Sorry. Hagerstown. Julie does it. Trish all the time. So they
we don't have to, we don't have to come up.
Come up.
Come
room.
Back here. Then we go from there.
Go up there, get in the room, get rested, and so forth. But you say that coming back here, the reaction on New York is really
good. Oh, it's up there.
They finally realize the election is over.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that good?
In fact, you might consider, after you get all of this done, A, some public appearances in this country, and B, perhaps a trip to Europe, particularly if we get this.
Oh, yes, but a trip to Europe has to wait until this is done.
Until this is done.
And some public appearances in this country has to wait until this is done. I'm not going to go out and have any more of these damn peacenicks. No more. That's not done.
I think we can get it done by December 15th.
But we're going to get it done. We're going to get it done. Period. That's just all there is to it. This haggling around with Jew is sickening now.
Yeah.
God damn it, what kind of a game is he?
Well, it just makes one wonder what he thought all along was happening, because there is no difference in our proposal. We didn't make not one concession.
Let me read my previous letter, and I'll talk to him and offer up the letter. He'll understand it. Don't worry, it'll happen. It'll be talking, but there'll be the knife will be in there, and that's it. Regretfully concluded, Mr. President, that we must do this. If you do not go along, fine. If not, we'll have to do it another way. You know what I mean? Now let's come along here. Goddamn, we put in mutual trust in that letter and everything. You can't have any of these little countries taking us around anymore. That's all stopped.
But
it's all finished.
When you've run the enormous national and personal risk you've run for him, when you did not make one concession during this period, even when your election was on the line, so that basically his protection is the international system you're organizing. It's your willingness to hit the North Vietnamese if they start another offensive. That's important. And what the Chinese and Russians will do. And we will have to be pretty brutal towards the North Vietnamese so that they don't think they can start a big offensive.
Oh. So we're going to keep forces in Thailand and a few carriers sitting around out there. Hell yes. Oh, don't worry. That's, of course, the message that you get across in Hanoi.
That's right.
You say, all right, now don't ever test this man. If you think he was tough before the election, you watch till afterwards. He was the most conciliatory man. Betty, the Churchill made a very, very perceptive remark when he was basically he was talking about the failure of the Germans to win the first war, year of World War One, and when they were moving, you know, through the Shepherd Plan and so forth, down through the line, toward the Marne, etc. And then when they got those squeals of cries for help from East Prussia, and they withdrew two Army Corps and sent them over there, that lost the war for them.
That's right. They were entrenched for both battles. They were at either battle.
That's right. But the fight is interesting. Churchill said that in war, and of course I would add that in every, that this is true in politics, it's in life in general. You can use audacity and caution alternately, but never at the same time. That is the whole key of success, everything we've done. We've been cautious at times and conciliatory at times. We've been audacious at times, but we've never watered one down with the other. And that is the key here. The North Vietnamese have got to know, all right, and right now we're being cautious and conciliatory. But you test us, we'll throw caution to the wind, and we'll go hell bent for lunch. Right.
Right.
And that's the line we've got to use. But you, I mean, we've cautioned, we've been temporizing, we've been patting and spanning, but now it's just going to be...
Of course, if the North Vietnamese totally stonewall us at this next meeting, then we have a new problem. Then we may have to go another round with them.
Are the things that are going to stonewall you on all that important?
Well, I frankly think not. I frankly think the agreement we have is a good agreement.
Our deductions are all used up totally because of these papers I've given.
But if we put it on as a racing thing, then we'll have to do first with the charity fund.
Yeah, that's why this is looking at it.
Yeah, in general.
No, that's why this is looking at it, see. And as we get better, why we get social security out of plan, it's a regular thing, she can be put on.
So then if we work it out.
Okay, it's a regular thing.
I was thinking it's pretty good, so we're gonna go into numbers with.
Yeah, yeah, here. Look down there. On the regular thing, we'll do that, and then I will work out the next year a way that we at least better on the department's staff. She'll do, apparently she gets along extremely well with that, and she agrees sort of. She does not only the hair thing, she works.
She talks about what it really is, yeah, she's playing. And then I'll tell her the extra, then I'll give it back to her to get the right change and be able to pay. Get the memo about Frank Bo.
Frank Bo?
Frank Bo.
Die. Person.